Good morning to each of you. Bring your greetings in the name of Jesus today. Well, as Brother Day was reading from 1 Peter chapter 4, it's a passage I was working in last week or two. I'm planning to be at Winchester tonight, Lord willing, to preach there, and the message title was taken from verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The title of that message is Watch Unto Prayer. And I contemplated bringing that here this morning for you, but wasn't sure if I should risk that, if I could preach the same message twice in the same day and still be inspired about it. So that one is at home. Maybe it'll come some other day. My mind for this morning, you can turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1 for the message. I'd like to read a number of verses here. James chapter 1, and we're going to start reading at verse 19. Sometimes when you read the book of James, James feels a little bit disjointed. You're not sure exactly all how his thoughts all fit together, how they work together. And sometimes it's difficult to put all the pieces together. And this may be one of those places, but I would like to endeavor to help us see the connection that's found in these verses. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Do you know what that means? And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And we'll stop there. The title for the message is taken from verse 22, Be ye doers of the word. Most of us, I think, from the time that we were born till now, have heard the word of God. It's been taught to us in our homes. It's been taught to us in our schools. It's been taught to us in our churches. And we're not ignorant about what the Word of God says. We know a lot. We've heard a lot. But if you're like me, sometimes your mind can do these gymnastics where you sort of put things into categories. And you feel justified for not doing what the Word calls you to do. You have excuses and reasons for not being a doer. And verse 22 says, if you do that you will deceive your own self. It's called self-deception. It's possible for you to deceive you. You can do that. I don't think that any of us here this morning would want to be deceived. deception comes to us in ways that you and I often don't think about, we're not keenly aware of. And I think James is calling us to be reminded of the deception of being a hearer only, but not a doer. And if that's a pattern of life, that we hear but don't do, you will become deceived. And so even this morning, as Christian people, we're going to have to guard our minds and our lives against this temptation to only hear and not do. It will come to us at various times and places that we'll be tempted to be a hearer only. And James is giving to us a warning not to do that. Don't just hear. James gives to us an illustration and an example of how this works out. And that's what verses 19 through 22 is speaking of. He's giving to us an example of how we can be a hearer, but not a doer. In verse 19, he speaks about being, he says, to be slow to wrath. He says to watch your temper. Watch your anger. Why? Because verse 20 says that the wrath of man, what does it do? It doesn't work the righteousness of God. And so an uncontrolled temper today, James tells us, isn't going to produce righteousness in your life. It will do something opposite then of that. Slow to wrath. It's not going to work righteousness in your life. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And I believe that James is giving to us two synonyms for what the wrath of man is. Uncontrolled wrath of man, uncontrolled anger of man that results in us speaking words and doing things that are improper for Christians. He tells us in God's sight what these things look like. He says that they're filthy and that they're superfluity of naughtiness. Those are words we don't, well, the naughty word, we understand what that means, but we don't use that in our English language. But that has the idea of rampant wickedness or uncontrolled wickedness or something that is growing. It mushrooms out. It's something that is just it extends. Now, probably no one here this morning would say that you have filthiness in your life or rampant wickedness. But yet, so often in life, we tend to like to tone down things in our life. And we talk sort of like this instead of, well, I just sort of got upset at my wife. Or I was just a little bent out of shape. Doesn't sound as bad. Tend to just like water it down a little bit. It's really not that big of a deal, but James is saying, look, folks, call it for what it is. It's filthy and it's wicked. In fact, anything that's keeping you from living a righteous life is abominable to God. It's bad. And James is bringing our supposedly small sins into a proper perspective for us to see them as God sees them, how they look in God's eyes. John Wesley wrote this. He said, "Purge me from every evil blot. My idols all be cast aside. Cleanse me from every sinful thought, from all the filth of self and pride. And I guess if we're honest and we break down our anger, that really is what it's full of, is self and pride. It's an intolerance. It's a feeling of self-importance. Is that a big deal? And James says it is a big deal because it not only prevents you from working out the righteousness of God, but you're unable, verse 21, to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And so if there's things in my life today that I'm wanting to just water down a little bit, just to tone down, they're not, we don't think that bad. James is saying call it for what it is. Because that's affecting your ability to receive the word of God as it comes to you. You're not meek. You're not humble. You're not willing to recognize yourself for who I am. This is who I am. And that word that you hear is unable to become part of who you are. And grafted means to become part of, to be built into you. It's how you live. This is why I do what I do, because of the word of God. It's in me and affects the way that I live. I've heard and I'm doing. And so if you think about something that's filthy, sinful things that are filthy, and you indulge in those things and fill your mind with those things, and then you come to the word of God and you pick it up and you begin to read it and you're like, oh, thank you, God. This is wonderful. Like the words of life are just amazing to you. And you leave refreshed and invigorated. Is that how it works? It's not how it works. You feel guilty. There's something that is in your life that is restricting the word of God, able to have free course in my life. And could it be this morning that there are some things in my life that I'm calling something other than what James is calling it, that is restricting the word of God from being able to meekly come into my life and to become part of me? This is who I am because God's word says it. I heard it. I recognize I'm not lining up to it, and I'm willing to change. And so any impurity, any wickedness will keep you from receiving the word. Or to come to the word, surrendered and open. Lord, will you speak to me today from your word? That's my heart posture to you. I want a word from you. I want you to speak to me. This word, James tells us, is able to save your soul. I thought Jesus saved our soul. He does. But brothers and sisters, there's a part that you and I need to do to continue in that salvation. We ought to be taking steps this morning to allow the word to become part of our lives, to help us to grow so we can become more like Christ. But ultimately, the desire is to be able to experience salvation of our souls. That's what we want. We want to experience salvation. We're going to have to live a certain way. We're going to have to walk a certain walk. Being a doer of the word will produce righteousness, the righteousness of God in your life. But pretty often, sometimes we tend to listen and it goes in one ear and out the other ear, and we sort of just dismiss it and we never do it. And I wonder if verse 22 is not, it's not the most important verse in our Bibles, but it's getting pretty close. to being very important. It's a very important verse. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, I wonder if James wasn't referencing and referring back to Jesus' words, because Jesus spoke this way too in Matthew chapter 7. He said that if you hear these sayings of mine and do them, you're like what? You're like a wise man who's digging down and he's building his house on the rock. If you hear these words and you don't do them, you're like a foolish man. And your life is built on the sand. And you won't experience salvation. You'll fall. You'll crash. And so this morning we're emphasizing the importance of doing. But that does not minimize the importance of hearing. If you never hear, you don't know what to do. And so both are important. We need to hear to do. Romans chapter 2 and verse 13 says this, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." So a lot of folks that I meet that they know, but they don't do. That doesn't bring justification in your life. Hearing but not doing. And so this morning I'm encouraging us all to be in the Word every day, to be hearing the Word, but also putting forth effort to obey the Word and to live it out. Well, verse 23, James says, if you hear the word and you don't do, you're like the man who looks into that mirror and he sees himself and he sees that his hair is messed up or that he has food on his teeth or whatever, and he's like walks away and forgets about it. It's not there. Who cares? He doesn't care about it. Things are out of place. That's why we look in the mirror, naturally speaking, is to see if something's not right. Is something wrong? Does something need to be fixed? And if you see something that needs to be fixed, but you don't fix it, you're like a man, spiritually speaking, who hears, and he knows there's something in his life he ought to take care of, but he's not going to do it. He doesn't do it. He walks away and dismisses it. I mean, likely none of us would do that physically speaking. If you see something amiss in that mirror when you look at it, you're going to fix it up, change it, dress it, whatever, take care of it. But I wonder how often we do that spiritually. Is it more important than having some food on your teeth or more important that you're doing what the Bible says? Sometimes we have our priorities mixed up. What's the most important? Keep looking in the mirror. Keep making yourself presentable. I'm not saying that you should not do that. But maybe we should be as diligent in our spiritual lives as we are with our physical life. And so this morning, we put ourselves into the mirror and we bring ourselves into the mirror of God's word to see how we line up. How am I doing with what God's word is saying? What does my life look like laying down beside the mirror of God's word? And so don't feel upset this morning or any day when you see that your life isn't in line with the word of God. That's a problem that we all face. But what are you going to do about it? Are you going to do something about it? Or are you just going to dismiss it and let it go? If you're a doer of the word, you're going to be a person who is changing as you grow and as you mature. And we sometimes think of Christian growth as burdensome and as just not that nice of a thing to do. But that's wrong thinking, because Jesus said, "Come to me because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is no bondage looking into the mirror of God's word and seeing our faults and our defects and learning how to better live and to change them. That brings freedom and beauty into your life, not bondage. There is good things that happen when you begin to align your life with the word of God. So will you see it as a beautiful thing? If your conscience convicts you of something, don't despise that. But learn to appreciate that. And then do something about it. Make a change. And so one tendency that we have this morning to hear but not do is because we like to water things down in our lives. We like to tone things down, call them what they are not. But James is saying, look, just call it for what it is. If you get angry and you fly off the handle, just say it. I'm a filthy person. I need forgiveness. That's what this thing is. And deal with it. Take decisive methods to get rid of that thing. Pull it down. Walk a different path. There's lots of other ways this morning that we can hear and not do. And I have a number of them listed out just for us to stir up our minds and to think. Some of them may resonate with you, some of them may not. But what are the excuses? Number one is we like to water things down and not call it what it is. What are some more excuses that we tend to make? And if you find yourself making these excuses, tell yourself that you're deceiving yourself, because that's what James says. He says, if this is what you're doing, you're deceiving your own self. So number one was not calling the things in your life what they actually are called in God's eyes. Number two is being a casual listener. You're here this morning, but your mind is somewhere else. You hear me talking, but it's sort of like the background music that you know it's there. It might catch a word or two, but there's no deep concentration. Your mind's preoccupied with some other problem, some other thing that you got going on. Maybe you're a little drowsy, and you're falling asleep a little bit. It's a casual listener. Our hearing of the Word of God today makes us so accountable. And in fact, we're probably some of the most accountable people on the face of this earth. And if you and I are a casual listener, that'll cause judgment to fall on you at the end. If that's all the farther you ever get, it's just listening. Casually. Number three is we listen on behalf of someone else. Is that foreign to us? Peter had that problem. Jesus said, Peter, follow me. Peter had a word from the Lord to obey, but Peter is like looking back over his shoulder and he's like, well, what about this man over here? What's John going to do? Have you ever thought, well, I'm sure glad that preacher said that brother or sister, they really needed that one. Or maybe wives, you sort of like peek out of the corner of your eye at your husband. I wonder how he's taken that one, because he really, that's really what he needed this morning. And you know what? We can become so busy thinking about how everything fits into everybody else's life and completely miss what was meant for us to hear. Don't miss the truth that's meant for you. Don't miss the truth that's meant for you by listening for someone else. Let them listen themselves. You listen for yourself. Number four is that we make categories in our minds. And I thought of this example as Darwin was reading 1 Timothy chapter 6 this morning. He read over those verses about rich people and money and what we should tell rich people. We should warn them that are rich. Maybe in your mind you think, look at your bank account and what you have, and you think, well, I'm not rich. And you just like dismiss it. That's not written for me. But perhaps that's not true. That was written for you. We tend to treat spiritual things pretty lightly sometimes and just pretty quickly have our excuses and our reasons to like, well, that doesn't apply to me at all. We'll just let that one go. Number five, we're looking at excuses for why we are tempted to hear and not to do. We can think this, that I'm waiting for God to do something. And this has worked out like this in our lives, like young men and young ladies, like the Bible calls you to obey your parents. And you think, well, my dad, my mom, they're not perfect. They're not really worthy of my obedience. And so I'm not going to listen to them because they don't do well in this area of their life. Why should I be expected to obey them? Well, wait for God to do something in my dad's life first. Before I obey my parents completely. Or maybe, husbands, you're called to love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. As you love your own body, love your wife. Maybe you think, well, my wife isn't worthy of that kind of love. Like, I'll let God do something in her life first so that I can love her better. Or maybe you think, well, I know I'm supposed to submit to my husband, but he's not worthy of my submission. I'm waiting for God to do a work in his life before I fully submit to him. We tend to wait for God to work in someone else's life before we're willing to obey what we know to do in our own lives. We know that we have a word from God. We know what we should be doing. But we're saying, I'm waiting for God to move in this person's life first. Well, guess what? That's not how life works. Do what you know God is calling you to do today. And God will work in that person's life. Let's not excuse our doing because of other people's faults and failures. Any kind of waiting, if we know we have a word from God, is disobedience. Those priests, as they came to the Jordan River and it was flowing, they had the ark on their shoulders, they came to the Jordan River and they stopped. Now they actually had to get down into the water and touch it with their feet before the water stopped, right? God will always come and do his part. He always will do his part, but listen, we have to do ours. We must do ours. If you have a word from God this morning that you know you must obey, do it the best you can. Live it out. God will come and do his part. He will every time. Number seven is, we'll say this to somebody. I'll pray about it. I've already told my dad that when he came to me with some legitimate concerns that he had about me. And I remember telling him sometimes, well, yeah, I'll pray about that. Sounds sort of spiritual, but it's sort of just a convenient way to be disobedient. That's what that is. If I got something going on in my life right now that's not pleasing to God, that's not according to God's word, God does not ever ask us in the Bible to pray about it. He says, get rid of it. Get it out of your life. Change your life. Be done with it. Stop it. Don't pray about it. Don't pray about the things that you know. It's sort of like Joshua. He was called to go in and wipe out those cities. Go for it. Do it. You've got a work to do. Go do it. So if you got something in your life this morning that's not right, don't waste your time praying about it. You can pray about it, but do more than that about it. Change it. Get rid of it. Number 8 is that we are so offended. I don't know if you ever feel like that or not. Like, you know, he's talking about me. He's talking right to my family. Like, how does he know that? And you can become so busy being insulted about something that you know, in that state of mind, you can't even ask yourself, is it true? Like, maybe it is true. Like, stop being offended and insulted. Ask yourself, is it true? And if it's true, you got something to do. Or sometimes we hear this one. God is so loving. Father, he's so kind. It's a tender shepherd. That's very true. He understands how hard my life is right now. That's true too. He understands why I'm unable to obey his word. Sometimes it seems like we want to push ourselves as close to the line as we can of disobedience, like, and not obey. We like to excuse ourselves for not obeying, and we like to, like, get as close to that line as we think we dare can before we are disobedient. What is true this morning that your Father is kind, and that he is loving, and that he is a tender shepherd. And he does know how hard it is for you, but he also will give you the grace to obey and to live it out. Number 10, I believe we're on, is living on past obedience. I mean, there was maybe a time in your life where you were obedient and you were being victorious and you were living joyful Christian experience, but something creeps in and it's no longer what it used to be. And you think in your mind, well, I was doing pretty good. And we would like to excuse this thing that sort of just creeps in, maybe occasionally. Just let it go. None of us personally can live on the former days. That's never safe to do that. You can't live on your parents. You can't live on your grandparents and on their faithfulness. You can't even trust what you did yesterday. It looks today as to what you're going to do. This is present Christian day living. Yes, faithfulness in the past will also encourage you to be faithful in the future. But don't dismiss obedience and doing the word of God because you've been faithful in the past, but now there's something in your life that's not right, but you're unwilling to deal with it. It will prevent you from living out the righteousness of God. And right closely with that is also living on future obedience. It's called procrastination. It's called good intentions about what I'll do tomorrow. Proverb writer says, don't ever boast about tomorrow. You don't know tomorrow at all. It may not never come. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 12 and verse 35, he says, let your loins be girded about you and your lights burning. That sounds like some pretty active Christian living right there. Is that how I'm living? Don't wait till tomorrow to set things right. If you know that something's not right, it may be too late. Or perhaps we'll use this line of reasoning, that that's the preacher's saying it. And not Jesus. It's not the Bible. I'm just not obeying the preacher. Now, obviously the preacher is human. He may have given his opinion. He may have said something that wasn't accurate. That's very possible for me to do that. But before you dismiss that too lightly, maybe you should come and have a conversation with the preacher to see exactly what he meant. Maybe it was wrong. But it's pretty easy for us to justify ourselves for not doing the Word of God because we just didn't really like the preacher. We didn't really like the way he said that. It was just pretty forceful. I wonder if he had any love in his heart when he said that. And that may be true. Maybe it wasn't said the best way. Maybe it wasn't said as lovingly as it could have been said, but be a Berean and search it out. And if it's true, do away with how it was not said properly, but do the best you can to live it out. Or sometimes we'll fall into this thing of partial obedience. And I thought of the church in Revelation, the church of Ephesus. Jesus said about this church, he says, that I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say there are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Here's a church, a group of people who were toiling, who were not fainting, who were pressing on, who had their doctrine right, who were able to smell the false teachers and get rid of them. Seems like they had a lot of good things going for them. Jesus recognized that, but he also recognized just the one thing that they had fallen from. And Jesus said, look, I'm going to overlook that because you're doing well in these other areas. That's not at all what he said. He said, look, you either repent or I'm going to take you out of the candlestick. And so partial obedience this morning is not enough. It's not going to excuse you in the end. Christ calls for us to obey all that we know. So if your life you think looks pretty good in many areas, and you're tempted to think that surely Jesus will overlook this, just this one thing, that's not what Jesus says. He says to repent and to change your life, change your course. And the last one that I have mentioned here, so we can excuse our hearing and not doing because of past failures that we've had. And you can feel overwhelmed. And you can feel like, well, what's the use? And it may be that your life is a sorry mess. You think about what Jesus says, and you think about his promises, and you think about his offer of mercy, and pardon, cleansing, forgiveness, and a new life, a new start. And in spite of your failures and the messes that you're in, you choose to cling to the promises and continue on, obeying the word of God. Don't let past defeats keep you living in defeat. There's a path to rise above that. Don't allow your past failures to keep you from doing and living the word of God. And so this morning, if your conscience is silent, and your conscience really ever speaks to you, and you can go for just a number of months and be suspicious about that. Because you and I aren't perfect yet. We're not fully sanctified. We're not fully made into what we ought to be yet. There's growth that needs to happen in my life and in your life. That's a dangerous place to be if your conscience is silent. Encourage your conscience to speak and to allow the word of God to guide you. Ask the Lord to show you where I'm not measuring up to. Lord, I want to see in the mirror of your word how I can live differently, more like you. What should I put to death? What should I bring to life? Open my eyes to see the truth, who I am, and what you want to make me into. Of people this morning who hear the word of God, who do the word of God, will produce a life of righteousness that God says in verse 25 that this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's what I want from my life. Yes, we're not perfect yet. It's coming a day where we will become perfect. We're not perfect here. So allow the word of God to speak into your life this week and be willing to make the changes, to live in a different way. And God will bless you for it. Let's kneel for prayer.